put on our PJs, build a blanket fort. Let's go inside, get cozy, comfortable. It's not a coincidence, it's a metaphor about how we come together and build our world. And when the convo ends, we break it down and begin again. Yeah. Sit down, tune in, crank it. It's time to bring your own blanket. Blanket Ninjas.
Welcome to season 3 of BYO Blanket, a yoga podcast where we get cozy and discuss interesting topics to uplift, inspire, and contribute, all inside a blanket fort. Before we start, Janan, you had a quick message.
Thank you so much, Maria. I'm Janan. I am the co-host of BYO Blanket alongside my wife, Maria. And Yay. We invite you to become patrons of the show. It is as little as $1 a month to help us keep the show going. And when you sign up to become a patron, you get cool swag and bonus content. We mail some cool stuff to you guys that we make sure it's not a bunch of junk. We make sure that it is stuff that you'll actually like and that you'll actually use. For example, we sent out Nag Champa incense recently, so that was a cool little perk. But, you know, more than anything, you get the satisfaction of keeping this going, keeping important topics being discussed in a way that is casual, relaxed, and world-changing. Thank you so much for listening. Oh, I didn't even tell you how to do that.
Yeah.
Go to patreon.com/BYOblanket. Again, patreon.com/BYOblanket. Get off your hiney and just go to the website and become a patron. It's really easy. You'll like doing it. We will be forever grateful. And of course, review us on iTunes. Thanks. And back to you, Maria.
Thank you, Janan. And welcome, listeners, to our episode. We've got, as usual, a fantastic guest.
When do we not? Are any of our guests crap? No.
I know.
They're all awesome.
They wouldn't be guests. Exactly. So this episode I'm very excited about. I am excited because we've got, guys, another male yoga teacher.
Yay!
A unicorn.
Well, yeah, it is. It's a little skewed, this, right?
I know.
At least
we're trying. We're trying, guys.
And I mean, I'm fine with us having mostly women guests in the past because, like, you know, go ladies. We two ladies. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Who run the world?
And yet, you know, diversify with a guy sometimes. So you'll be excited to hear from this guest because he is someone who I work with and is a close friend of ours. And he is an excellent, excellent, excellent yoga instructor that everyone knows and loves. Y'all, it is Reggie Ahmed, or as you would probably say, Reggie Ahmed.
Welcome, yeah, Reggie. Welcome, Reggie.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
When you introduce yourself, how do you say your name? I've actually never heard you introduce yourself before.
So Wajdi Ahmed, Reggie Ahmed. My given name is Wajdi, right?
Wajdi.
I go by Reggie. And in our family, like my uncle, who's been in the U.S. for 40 years, has always said Ahmed. Mm-hmm. And that's what I typically say. Some other family members say Ahmad. So I don't know if there's really a right or a wrong way, but
well, it's pronunciation.
It's all mispronunciation of Arabic. So
Ahmed, yeah.
well, welcome, Reggie. We're so thrilled to have you for these few minutes, and I know our guests are. The topic that you brought to us, I think, is a really interesting thing to discuss on a podcast, especially because it's something. Like, this is an audio-only podcast. We don't even have a video portion. So we're going to talk about something that people usually see very visually, and that is inversions. We're going to talk about inversions, and I'd love to know...
Wait. Before we start,
oh,
Reggie,
God.
Introduce yourselves. Tell our listeners who you are,
yes,
what you're
thanks,
about,
Maria.
Or anything else you want to share.
See, this is why I have a co-host. Thank you, Maria.
You're
yes.
welcome.
Introduce yourself, Reg Master.
Yourself.
All right. So yeah, some of you guys probably know I teach yoga at Big Power Yoga. I started going to the studio pretty much when it first opened, like maybe a month or two after it opened. And I just wanted to be part of the community right away. So I think I asked Nancy, how can I be part of this? And she said, oh, we have this thing where you come in, I don't know, once a week, twice a week, and just clean the floor. We used to vacuum the floors.
You were an energy exchanger? I didn't know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. I was there. I did that for years.
Wow.
I used to go to the studio on Sunday. I think Sunday we used to lock the studio from like 12 to 4 or something. And I would go like at 1 o'clock, just vacuum and then mop and then just leave. I'd lock the doors and leave. I mean, that's like a long time ago in 2012. So anyway, and then I got certified in 2013, and I've been teaching since then. Yeah.
And would you call yourself a full-time teacher at any point?
No, there were times when I taught like 8 to 10 classes a week.
That's pretty full time.
That's very full time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I never thought of it as a job or something that I had to do. And that's why I never wanted to go in that direction, because then it would feel more like something that I have to do. And I always wanted to keep it as something that I just wanted to do because I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Just like inversion. So, I mean, it's evenings, weekends, any free time that I had, I was teaching at some point.
Yeah.
So, but I've always done something else, besides teaching yoga.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're our realtor. So there's that. So
yeah.
It's
exciting.
In Houston wants some realiting. Oh my God. What's the
realiting
verb? You want to get some real realiting with Reggie. He is he's really great. So I'll give you that little plug.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Yeah. If any of you guys listeners want to look for a house, buy or sell house, let me know.
And if you want to do handstands, let him know, because he's dope at handstands too. And so now we can go into the topic.
Yeah, let's talk about.
Go ahead and tell us why you brought this topic to the table today, Reggie. Talking about inversions, handstands, and whatnot.
So back when I first started, I've always loved inversions. When I was 10 or 11 years old, I wanted to do gymnastics, but it wasn't an option where I grew up in Syria. So I had a cousin that we would just go to the beach and practice handstands. And I never built up the courage to do a backflip, but he was doing backflips and all kinds of crazy things. So we had a lot of fun. And I've always been active, but I never really been able to do a handstand for more than like 2 seconds. And my aunt started doing yoga. Well, she used to do yoga, and then I started going with her occasionally back in 2005, 2006. And then when I started going, I was going maybe like once a week, maybe even less than that. And then the more I did it, the more I noticed my balance was increasing, was getting better. Obviously the breath aspect of the practice is huge. And then I noticed that my inversions just started to get better. I kind of like that interest came back, and it was always something that I could work on to better my inversions. And that's how it kind of fell in love with the practice. And then when I fell in love with the inversion part of the practice, then I started to learn all about the methodology and the inclusivity of the practice and the community aspect of it. And that's how it all started.
Yeah. So you still practice inversions a lot. And if anyone doesn't know Reggie, let me tell you something. If you walk into Big Power Yoga and you're about to take Reggie's class, you will see him doing a handstand on the counter. Because that's like how he gets warmed up. I think that's like, I view it as, you know, I stand there and like clap my hands and go, woo, and like get myself pumped. But Reggie just like goes into a handstand in a really precarious situation so he can get like really in his center and really zoned in. I would say that your inversions practice, you said, opened the door up into the methodology, and now they both inform each other. So how do you, as a yoga teacher, tell people or like encourage people to try inversions, not just from the physical body standpoint? Like, how do you speak to their hearts when you're also telling them to do handstands?
Yeah, so inversions to me, it's more than just doing a handstand. Inversion to me is just, to me, it's a practice of getting better and doing something that you didn't know that you could do before, and just surely by sticking to the fundamentals and doing the thing that scares you until it doesn't scare you anymore.
Mm. There is
go ahead,
Reddy, finish your thought.
That's really what it's about for students, and I've seen it over and over again, that it's that feeling that you get or the sensation that you get when you do something new, and that can make your day better. That can change your day. Just that feeling. It's not really the pose itself. It's that feeling of accomplishment when you work on something and you actually do it. And that's what inversion is for me. And that's what really got me to love the practice, is that there's always something to work towards, the pose doesn't really matter. Getting the pose correct doesn't really matter, but seeing the progress is what it's about.
Mm.
I love that. So what I was going to say is I've just recently started practicing inversions and handstands. And one of the things that I am discovering is I knew that physically speaking, it is a challenging pose. And where the biggest thing is, or for me, where I really need to practice literally all of my yoga, is mentally and emotionally, because I need to trust that my body's strong enough. I need to trust that because I am in a weird, different position that I'm normally in, you know, like I get kind of disoriented. I need to know that I can find balance in this different position. I need to trust that, you know, if I fall, I'm not going to like die or get hurt. Or, you know, all of these little things that really becomes like practicing being okay with being uncomfortable until it becomes comfortable. Mm-hmm. And what I'm curious about is, from the time you started, you know, like if you can think like way back before you were doing handstands on the counter, like how does that, like, has that evolved? Has it become, like, what has opened up for you? How does that evolution have happened?
That's a really good question. And it's, in my case, it really, and it's something that I used to be, well, it really changes. So in the beginning, I had so much, I was so interested in the actual practice itself, like in the going upside down, that I really didn't doubt that I could do it. I think it's because my excitement just took over that fear, and I was always in that. But over the years, I mean, sometimes you lose excitement. So to me, it's like, how can I get back into that state of mind of just staying in? Because yeah, it's interesting. Like, I was looking the other day through like some of the like a picture that I saw, and I was doing like a handstand on like on something that I probably wouldn't do anymore. Like, it was just a little bit, it was like on an edge, and I was like, oh, I don't know if that was a good idea back then. But now looking at it, it's you go through different phases, I think. And to me, like back in the day, I'm getting back there, but I had so much excitement about the practice of inversion itself that like fear wasn't really, like, of course I knew my limits, but fear wasn't really a factor. Yeah.
That's
but
interesting.
One thing that I really always am mindful of in my practice is that what it feels like now, it's not permanent. If something feels off, if something feels awkward, like if I'm learning a new pose, a new arm balance pose, and it feels awkward, Like, it's supposed to feel awkward in the beginning.
Mm.
But not to get discouraged because it's awkward now.
Yeah.
But if you do it 50 times, 100 times, 200 times, it's going to get just a little bit less awkward. And then your body will, one day you'll wake up and you'll do it and it'll just work. And it's not because that one day you woke up and did it and it worked. It's because you didn't give up when it was awkward for like 100 days.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's interesting that we're talking specifically about inversions too, because you guys are saying like it felt awkward, or Maria's just started this practice and it is really challenging to just have this like completely abnormal body sensation all of a sudden. That's what I think is what makes inversions so unique, is different than Warrior One or Tree Pose or even, you know, doing a Chaturanga. Going upside down for a human feels so weird. Like it feels quite literally is turning your world upside down.
Oh, it is literally a different perspective, a different experience of the norm.
So this is maybe more of a statement than a question, but like barring extreme cases, because there may be really extreme cases, like someone's doing yoga and they don't have arms, you know what I mean? Or someone has like, they've just broken both of their wrists. I would not tell either of those people to do a handstand. That makes absolutely no sense. But outside of those like extreme circumstances, I'm all for people practicing inversions, especially if they have this like aversion to doing it at first. You know, like I'll meet folks who are just like, I don't like the feeling of being upside down, including myself, by the way. I avoided handstands for like the first 5 years of my practice because I just didn't like the feeling of being upside down. Y'all, I don't like roller coasters for that reason, that kind of stuff. Yet there is a different lesson that gets learned when I go to practice an inversion over and over again versus when I'm just practicing perfecting my Warrior One. Do you feel like it's like that, Reggie? Like inversions hold a special place in the land of yoga in terms of like transformational lessons?
Yeah, and each person has a different, like for, there's, everyone has something that they feel is like for me, heights. I cannot be in place. We climbed, I think we were Big Bend, and we went up to this like just a few rocks, and to me, I couldn't really process and logically in my head why I was scared.
Yeah,
like I knew I was safe. I knew that I would have to take 4 steps to fall off of the cliff, but I couldn't get myself to not shake.
Mm.
Aww. Right.
I get it.
So like heights is something that I'm scared of.
Yeah.
I think if I, you know, I, it's not something that it's in my practice, but I think if I expose myself to those specific sensations over and over again and really practice the awareness of and getting myself to understand that this is not life-threatening if I'm being careful, I think I can eventually get there.
Yeah.
And I feel the same. I think the same. I've had students that they are 100% no for any kind of inversions, and they all have their reasons. But a lot of times I think it's not the pose itself. It's those sensations that you get that you don't really understand are processed correctly.
Mm.
And that's what blocks you from taking that step to, you know, doing the inversion or you know, being okay with heights. And I think the way to do it is just to like slowly and mindfully practice it safely.
What transformation do you believe lies at the, I don't want to say the end because it never ends, but after someone makes the decision to go into those sensations of that they're not, you know, that they're not used to it and that freak them out, what transformation lies for someone who says yes to an inversion practice after saying no for so long?
I think you said it right there, right? Like you had built your life to believe that it's something that is out of your reach or out of your ability to do, right? So if I mean, that would, and then think what could be, what other things could be possible in your life if you had told yourself over and over again that this is not for me, this is not something that I can do. And then eventually with practice and patience, you're able to do it. Then there's that, maybe you can look at your life differently, whatever it is, relationships that you've maybe thought are stuck, right? And maybe there's a different way of seeing it now, right? It's just that mindset, like that being malleable with your mindset from this is impossible. Because I've known people that they say like there's no way they would go upside down ever.
Right? Yeah.
It's not the inversion, right? It's not the actual practice itself. It's that mindset.
Yeah.
So for those people, whether it is an extreme case, like, you know, somebody that doesn't have arms or has some crazy injury or physical limitation that literally stops them from being able to physically do a handstand, or to those people that is more emotional or mental limitations that might be present at that moment, is there anything else that would help them achieve the same things that you can get through practicing inversions? Like, what else can they do to either mimic or get the same goodness out of yoga practice?
Yeah, I mean, if it's a physical limitation, I think it just depends on the person and what they have to work with. I mean, there's a lot of things that you could do that if it's not a handstand, it could be a headstand, I mean, there are so many arm balances. It's less about the thing itself and more about trusting your body. And I think that breath has so much to do with it. A lot of times people have had a bad experience with something, like try to go upside down and then maybe like fell on their back or something, and then that caused the heart stop. So I think just practicing safely and slow progression. And then also, like, it depends on what the person's body is. There are sometimes exercises that you could do to build up the strength to be able to do a specific pose or a specific inversion. For me, like, I can do a handstand, but after 10 seconds, my shoulders are just giving up. I can't do anything. I have to come down. So, like, I've been really working on my back flexibility to open up those muscles, so I'm not pushing so much through the handstand, and there is more ease because my back and my shoulders have more room for me to stay in the handstand for longer. So it really also takes maybe like assessing the situation, assessing where your body is and what you need to get to where you want to be. A lot of times just doing the pose itself is what you need, but sometimes you may have to open up a certain part of your body that is tight, or maybe you need to strengthen a specific place where you need that strength to be able to do the pose that you're trying to accomplish.
And for those that, you know, are physically ready, but they're mentally not ready, or they say they're mentally not ready, you know, that they believe that they aren't mentally ready, then I think the thing is to just try the pose, or keep showing up with the intention to try something new, even if it doesn't happen that practice. You know what I mean? Yeah. I might show up on my mat and be like, I'm going to do all the poses to just really get my good workout today. And I'm in the first Sené and I'm like lightheaded. Of course, I'm not going to, you know, go all out, but at least I showed up to try, and I can just try again the next day. I think it's that way with inversions too. You go in with the open mind of like, okay, I'll just try to go one breath farther than I did before and see what happens. And it may not even be anywhere near upside down, but it could be like the step that will then eventually lead, after maybe 1,000 steps, to the first little hop up into a handstand or something like that. To chime in on what you're saying, Reggie, you got to go to Baptiste level one last year. I got to go to Baptiste level three last year. So I went to level one in 2014. I went to level two in 2017. And I'm mentioning this because a big part of, I don't know, you know, I can't say what happened in your training. And for those of you listening, what I'm talking about are, there were week long trainings with Baron Baptiste, the guy that started Baptiste Yoga. And I didn't really know what to expect before I got to my level one, but my level one was very handstand heavy. It was like we were practicing handstands over and over and over again. And I don't mean like he showed us like the most precise techniques, or he like told us you had to practice this for 3 years and then you'll be ready. He just was like, put your hands on the floor, get with a partner. They'll help you not fall over. Just like see what happens. And there were some people that were like, no, I'm not. They had strong physical practices, you know, but they're like, I don't do handstands. And I saw those same people finally after like the day three, they finally just took the invitation. They're like, okay, I guess I paid $4,000 for this training. I should do what this guy is saying. And the transformations that they had, man, are so big. Like they came down from the handstand exhilarated with what you're saying, that there's this feeling of accomplishment and of like, oh, if that was possible and I did it, then what else is possible? Mm. So would you say as a yoga teacher to you, is it important to you to be teaching inversions, or is it kind of like, well, if you want to, you can, but if you don't want to, you don't have to? What is your philosophy on that? I'm curious.
Yeah, I mean, I think my philosophy and the way that I teach is really, I like to empower people to go on their own pace. And because I think when there is a lot of pressure and forcing people to do something, then it doesn't, you know, like a lot of times it doesn't go so well. So like to me, what I'm really in my class, what I'm trying to teach is for any student to have the opportunity to challenge themselves, even just a little bit. And to leave that class just a little bit stronger, a little bit more open, a little more trusting their body than they were before. And I think that if you're always challenging your body in a certain way, and if you're always getting stronger, then you'll eventually get to that point where you feel more comfortable going upside down.
Yeah. So it's almost like you want to be the person that opens the door and give an invitation to walk over the threshold.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really like teaching inversions in my classes, but I think a lot of times there's a saying that people overestimate what they can do like in one day and underestimate what they can do in a year, right? Mm. So I feel like sometimes when you're teaching a hard arm balance pose in a yoga class, it's a good way to get people's, some people are going to do it. Most people are going to be intrigued and interested, and some people are not going to think it's possible. I like to just offer a physically challenging practice, and then offer people these little things that they can work on, not to do it in the class, just so when they can go home or like in a week or two or a year, maybe they can get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I like that. What do you want our listeners to get out of this episode?
One last little nugget.
Mm-hmm. Patience. Like that's something that I've been working with in my practice. Like just to be patient with myself and my body. Mm. But push yourself, patience, and stay in consistency. That's two things that I'm working on, like being patient for the results and staying consistent with the methodology. That's actually something that I'm working on in my practice and in other things in my life too. Mm. It's just like, I don't need to see results right now. I can just do the things that I know they will work and they will get me to where I need to be and trust the process and stay on track.
What are you working on right now in terms of your inversions? I'm just curious. Are you trying to do scorpion?
I am working on this pose where you have, I don't know if it's a really yoga pose, but it's like a crow with one hand.
What?
Yeah.
A crow on one hand?
Yeah.
A crow on one hand?
Yeah, so like just one hand down and then you take the other hand off. So you're pretty much balancing on one arm. Uh-huh. And then your knee is on your triceps on the right side for me. I'm not even trying on the left side.
Where's your left knee?
Where's your other? Yeah.
Where's your left leg doing?
It's up in the air.
So it's a one-legged, one-handed crow.
One-legged Dalabhasana? Yes. Nikalabhasana?
Yeah, yeah.
Or flying crow?
One-legged, one-handed crow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So I can do it for, like, 1 second, maybe 2 seconds.
Oh, my God.
I could do it for a millisecond, if I was, like, falling down from my bike. You could probably see me in that position.
Yeah, that's the thing. You're like, 1 second. Yeah, that you just, like, really just, yeah, you're falling down pretty much.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Wow.
I'm working on, just so the listeners know, I've been teaching Reggie and I, this is a fun fact. And I know we're getting over on time, so I'll make this really fast. This is our fun fact, is Reggie and I taught each in different cities, but well before we knew each other, we taught our first yoga class ever as yoga teachers on the same day, the same exact day.
Yeah, I remember that.
Back in 2014.
So
yeah.
That's cool.
So anyway, we've been teaching the same amount of time, and for no reason at all other than his party was to practice inversions and mine wasn't. My current inversion practice is just trying to do a handstand without using the wall. And so far I'm at still doing it using the wall, but then hovering away from the wall for like 2 or 3 seconds. So we'll see how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. As soon as I started practicing inversions, y'all, I will tell you my arms got way more swole and my shoulders.
Yeah.
I look like I do.
Yeah. It's so much arms and shoulders really.
Yeah. But anyway, that was your last little nugget. That was my last little nugget. Maria, you got one?
My last little nugget is what's important is finding ways to practice listening to your body, to feeling or being uncomfortable and understanding the difference between uncomfortable bad, like get out, and uncomfortable, oh, I'm in the growth zone.
Mm. Mm. I love it.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, Reggie.
Yes.
Thank you. You're the best.
Thanks,
guys.
We've been wanting Reggie to be on the show for a long, long time. And if I can share, Reggie is just such a sweet guy. He was a little shy when I first asked him, and he didn't come on at first. But, you know, shyness, just like fear, dissipates with what was it, Reggie? Patience and consistency. So I patiently.
Yeah,
consistently,
so maybe I'll do this again so I get more consistency.
Heck
yes! We would love to have you back.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you so much for having me. And yes, I've been avoiding doing this because I just didn't think I'd be good at it. But you know, hey, whatever it is, I'm glad that we've done it. And thank you guys so much. You really make it so easy and fun and comfortable. So thank you.
Yeah, dude. Yay. We got you. Just like someone afraid to practice an inversion, you're afraid to come on the show, but then you just did it, and look at it.
Wow.
Empowerment City. All right, well, you go realtor. What's the verb for that? You go real estating? You go keep realiting.
Yeah, show real estate. Yeah, I guess.
And we'll go about our day. And listeners, you go about your day. Go and try something new, something uncomfortable, and maybe pop into a handstand. We love you guys. Thank you for listening.
Love you guys.
Thank you, Reggie. And now we will all just say goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Blanket Ninja. BYO Blanket is a production of The Light Generation.
The BYO Blanket jingle was composed and produced by Studio Sassafras Music in Houston, Texas.
And the vocals are by Jessica Zoller. Thanks for listening.